Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're tuning in. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you. I hope you caught last week's show. If you didn't, make sure you go to talkradio.nyc, and you can always catch the replays there. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet and you want to know what's coming up each week, just click on that button on the homepage that says Join the Tribe, and it'll add you to our mailing list. We send out one email a week just to let you know at the beginning of the week, hey, here's what's happening with the upcoming shows. So I hope if you haven't done that yet, that you will do that. All right. I've got another great guest in store for you today. But first, of course, I have my little section of my book from Everyday Awakening. And today's section is entitled, The Beginning of Wisdom Comes When We Realize We Don't Know Anything. Most of us think we're pretty smart. We've got a lot of things figured out. We've got a plan for our careers, our relationships, and our lives. Then life happens, and suddenly all those plans go out the window. Maybe it was a health challenge we didn't expect. Maybe it was something that happened to someone close to us. Maybe our industry suddenly collapsed, and we don't know what to do next. Slowly but surely, over time, we then begin to realize that we really didn't know anything. Our predictions of the future were all wrong. Our assumptions about relationships and family turned out to be more complicated than we expected. Our vision for our lives suddenly seems to be a fantasy. Then we drop it all. We drop our expectations. We drop our projections. We drop our certainty. That's when true wisdom begins. When we come to the realization that we know absolutely nothing, we can begin to accept what is. When we stop our belief that we are the center and the master of the universe, then the universe can bring us magic. When we finally give up our egoic stance that we are so great and so smart, then we can start to find peace inside. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen all at once. Yet, when it does happen, it feels like magic. It feels like a relief. We soften and then know that it is okay that we don't know anything. So, where can you be humble in your life and know that you don't know? I wrote this section of the book a while ago, as most of the section of the book, and it really, I guess it was felt, I felt it was really important to share it. And by the way, this is the first section of, I believe, the last section of my book. So I only got like 17 more of these. So 17 more weeks and then I'm through with my book. I don't know what I'm going to do then. But it was just kind of one of these things that came to me. I think it was during a ceremony. And it was like, oh my God. Like, I thought I knew what was going on in my life. I thought I knew what was happening. I thought I knew what I wanted. I mean, I cannot pretend to imagine all the times in my life where I thought I knew what was going on and I really didn't. And I've heard many teachers say that the beginning of all wisdom starts with the simple phrase, I don't know. Because when we know, it's kind of like that old Chinese proverb about this eager student who was looking for this grandmaster, and he was climbing over mountains and valleys and going to some super remote region to meet this amazing Taoist master. And he finally gets there and he's like, "Master, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I so wanted to meet with you." And he said, "Oh, would you like a cup of tea?" And he's like, "Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I've been traveling a long way. A cup of tea would be wonderful." And then as they sit down and the master starts to pour the tea, and the student starts telling him all these other people he worked with and all these things he studied and all of this and all of that. And the teacher keeps pouring the tea until the cup is overpouring and the tea is flowing all over the table. And the student's like, master, what are you doing? You can't fill up the cup. The cup is already full." And the master says, "Exactly. And a mind that is already full has no room to learn." And so it really kind of, you know, struck me when I heard this parable of how often do we say to ourselves when we're in some training or in some situation, we're like, oh, I know that. And we say, "I know that," and we close ourselves off to any potential lesson that might be right there for us right then. And so when I learned this, I decided a long time ago that I was always going to approach everything with a beginner's mind. That even if I think I know something, even if it's something I've been doing a long time, even if it's something that, you know, I really have many years of experience with, when I show up, I will show up as if I don't know anything. And let me see. Maybe there's something new here for me to learn. Maybe there's something different. I don't know. Let me see. And to just be open. And it's interesting because when I've shown up this way, even when it's been around things that, you know, I know, whatever, somehow I might hear things a little differently. Somehow there's something about the way it's presented. Maybe it's because I'm different in the moment that now I'm able to take in the information in a slightly different way. It's kind of like watching a movie you've already seen. Like maybe you saw a movie like 10, 15 years ago, you really liked it, you haven't seen it in a long time, and you go to watch it again. And when you watch it with the idea as if you've never seen it before, even though you know kind of sort of what's going to happen, but there's always that one scene that you forgot. Or you hear a character say something, and it's like, oh, Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? I never that I didn't really catch that before. Because even though we've seen the movie before, we're a different person watching it now. And it's the same thing with any bit of wisdom, with any bit of training, with any situation, where even if it's something we've been in many times before, but we really haven't, because who we were when we were in that situation, when we were in that training, when we were having that discussion before, we were a different person back then. And so there's always something new to take in. And this is why I entitled this section, "The Beginning of Wisdom Comes When We Realize We Don't Know Anything." And indeed, the truths that we hold so closely and so dearly, over time we learn, like, oh, maybe I was wrong. Like something that maybe 20 years ago we fought so hard for, and we would thought, like, oh, this is the truth. No, this isn't right. No. And then we learn later on that maybe there was something we didn't know about what was going on. And then actually what we believed at the time turns out to not quite be the truth. I mean, more and more science is proving that the universe is a much stranger place to live in than we realize. I mean, the people who won the Nobel Prize for Physics last year, what was their whole experiment, their thing was about, was around how the universe is not locally real. Look it up. Look at who won the Nobel Prize for Physics last year. The universe is not locally real. What does that mean? That means that things can change and be weird, and odd things can happen way beyond our imagination. And that things only become what they are because we're observing them, because we have a belief. And when we hold those beliefs so tightly, there's no room for growth. Yeah, we may know a lot. We may have experienced a lot. We may be pretty smart people. But just because we're pretty smart people does not mean that we know everything. Nobody knows everything. So my invitation, I guess, for this week is to see what would happen if you just lived your life like you're not quite sure that you know everything, that what you think you know, like, maybe it's right, maybe it's not. Just consider the possibility around a relationship, around an argument, around your job, your career, your business, around anything that you're engaged or that you're doing. Just consider for a moment that maybe what you believe to be true might not be true. So that's the section of my book, "The Beginning of Wisdom Comes When We Realize We Don't Know Anything." And of course, that's in my book, Everyday Awakening, which you can find at everydayawakeningbook.com. And again, as I say every week, that just takes you to the Amazon listing. If you're like me and you want to support small independent bookstores, just ask them to order the book, Everyday Awakening by Sam Leibowitz. Because we're in a major distributor, so you can get it anywhere you want. All right, let's get on with the show. It's time for me to introduce to you my guest, who I'm trying to get on the show for a little while now, a certified brainwave entrainment engineer, Maury Zelkovich.
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 Yes. Zelkovich. Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. Nice Irish name. As a child, Maury has had many problems ranging from hearing thousands of voices in his head to severe depression. Well, hearing thousands of voices in your head would make anyone depressed. Something inside of him made him to start looking into brainwave entrainment field when he began to observe that sometimes time would seem to move faster and more pleasantly than other times. He eventually made the connection that when time seemed to move quicker, the sounds he was hearing were more rhythmic in nature. And when time seemed to painfully stand still, the surrounding sounds were far more disjointed. Maury is the creator of the Maury method. After he first noticed the effects that sounds and toads had on his own mental state over 20 years ago, this led to decades-long journey deep into the study of brainwave entrainment. Maury sought out the world's foremost brainwave entrainment experts, and after extensive study and training, became one of the few certified brainwave entrainment engineers in the world. Maury has developed this new proprietary technology, which he has dubbed the Maury method. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Maury.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's time for a break, I understand.
Yes. Those good old breaks. But before we go to break, just one thing I want to ask really, really quickly.
Sure.
You're a kid. You're hearing all these voices in your head. Did you think you were going crazy?
I thought everyone was like this.
I
never talked about it. I just figured everyone was like me.
Okay, cool. All right, let's leave it there. When we come back, I want to dig more into your journey of how things developed from there, and how did you even learn about brainwave entrainment? I'm sure most people never even heard of it. And then we'll get into throughout the show how you developed. Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every week, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. on KMET in Palm Springs, California. And we'll be right back with our guest, Maury Zeljkovic, in just a moment.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
What really drives success in business? Introducing Intangify, the show that explores the intangible assets that create value and growth. I'm Matthew Asbell, your host and an attorney focused on innovation. Join me Fridays at noon Eastern to discover how innovation, culture, and other intangibles shape thriving companies from startups to established businesses. We'll share strategies to unleash your business's true potential. Tune in live on talkradio.nyc Fridays at noon Eastern and Intangify your business today.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with certified brainwave entrainment engineer Maury Zeljkovic this hour. So Maury, you're a kid. You're hearing these voices. When did you first observe, or like, what was it when you kind of noticed that like things change depending on the rhythm of the sounds you were hearing in the background. That's a pretty self-aware kind of observation.
That didn't happen until my 20s.
Ah, okay.
Actually, before then was the thousands of injuries, self-inflicted, the multiple suicide attempts, and hating life, thinking I was Hitler, reincarnated. Waking up every morning, standing on my bed, opening the curtains, crossing my fingers, hoping I would see mushroom clouds when I drew the drapes. Multiple hundreds or thousands of times a day, repeating the affirmation, life is a disease for which there is no cure but death.
Oh, wow. Pretty dark.
Came after all of that.
Wow. Wow. So you said before that you thought everyone was living a life like you were. When did you realize that everyone wasn't like that?
In my late teens, when I started becoming more conscious. You see, I tried a lot of things to help myself out. So I tried the standard things, you know, going to see doctors and clinicians and social workers and psychiatrists and psychologists. And back in those days, they didn't give you pills for everything. They all thought that he's alive, so he must be coping okay. So they just left me to cope to my own devices. That's when I started getting, I became a pothead. I was smoking about 25, 30 joints a day, most of them by myself. I was drinking like a fish. I was a bumblebee bouncing from flower to flower. For those of you that don't know how that translates, I was a sex addict as well. And, you know, anything I could do to try to change my awareness, even just for a few seconds. It was very painful living the life I was living. But, you know, let's face it, multiple suicide attempts, I said.
Yeah.
It's easy to kill yourself if you really want to.
Yeah.
So I had enough presence of mind to realize that I guess I really didn't want to.
Yeah.
So when I couldn't find a way to die, I had to find a way to live. And that's what really started me looking at different ways to try to help myself. And eventually, way down the road, after trying everything else I could get my hands on, I became quite a good researcher. You know, after decades and decades of looking and trying and using and nothing helping, in a way, it didn't help me feel better, but it helped me in the long run because it helped me to create what's now known as the Mori method, which saved my life and is used by tens of thousands of people all over the planet, including by doctors and clinicians to treat and help people with Alzheimer's disease, cognitive decline, sleep disorder, stress, anxiety disorders, PTSD, and depression.
So how did you find this field known as brainwave entrainment? First of all, what is it, and how did you find it?
Sure. So people may have noticed, and you may not have noticed, Sam, but I was noticing, while the theme music was playing, and even the commercial music, I could see your head doing this. You were kind of mindlessly, I don't think you were consciously doing that, you were just doing it. That's tapping your feet to music also. So anybody out there who's ever tapped their foot and doesn't realize or moved their body swayed to music, that's a form of entrainment. Entrainment basically means two bodies falling into sync with each other. It was coined back in the mid-1600s by a Dutch clockmaker when he realized he put a bunch of cuckoo clocks up with the pendulums. And he went to lunch, and when he came back, all the pendulums were swinging in the same motion. Whereas when he left, they were all out of sync. And all of a sudden, they were all in sync when he came back.
Oh.
And that was the initial concept of entrainment. One vibratory object, if you will, synchronizing with other vibratory objects. So even though they don't look like they're attached or connected, obviously they were. The vibrational energy, everything is truly vibration anyway, as far as I can tell. But when you're in sync, things change. So what we do is, I started realizing while I was studying at what I call the paper internet, for people who are, you know, I'm sure you can guess what that is. It's called the library.
Yes.
But I call it the paper internet. So I started realizing when I was on a camping trip in my early 20s, everybody else went to sleep. I guess they had all drank too much. I can't sleep back then unless I'm wasted.
Mm.
I just have too many noises going on in my head, too much depression, too many thoughts. Mm. So I rolled myself a big thick joint, about that long, about that big around, and I smoked the whole thing myself. And normally a joint like that would have taken me about half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about midnight. So I figured, okay, good. I'll smoke the joint. I'll be wasted. I'll go to bed. I'll sleep. I'll wake up in the morning and start all over again. Well, when I was finished the joint, it was like 4 or 5 hours later.
Mm.
Up until that point in my life, time. Okay, I feel like I'm about 960 years old. Because when we're depressed, time moves agonizingly slowly.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was my experience. So I ended up suddenly experiencing time moving quickly. And it scared me a little, but then it excited me because this is different for me. The time actually moved fast. First time in my life, a day didn't feel like a decade. And I started questioning. So what's going on? What's going on? Well, I was sitting alone. So I was within myself, but I was sitting around a fire. So was it the flame? No, because I wasn't really looking at the flame. I kind of was sitting like this with my head in my hands and smoking.
Mm.
So what was it? Well, the wood was crackling. And I made the association that the popping, the snap, crackle, pop of the wood had something to do with it. So when I got back from the camping trip, I went again to the PI, the paper internet, and I started researching neural dynamics, quantum physics, neurobiology, neurochemistry, psychology, sociology, perception, anything that could have even the remotest. And you were alluding to how quantum physics is really all about perception.
Right.
Things don't exist until we see them, literally, until we admit they exist, and then they're not there until then, and then they just magically appear for us. It's like going into a room you don't know what's in there until you open and you look,
right?
Or you don't have vision until you open and you feel. So I started studying all these things, and because I'm self-taught, I don't know what's possible or impossible, because in school they teach you this is possible, this is impossible, but I don't know that. So for me, when I get an idea, to me that means it's possible. Why else would I get the idea? It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I started studying, and I found, by virtue of studying the brain and how sound, which by the way, doesn't exist. No one hears us. No one ever has heard anything. It's simply a relationship between vibration and the brain interpreting that vibration, almost like Morse code.
Right.
And right. It interprets it. So your voice sounds like your voice to me, but to someone else, it sounds a little different. That denotes the difference between how their brain interprets. So I started studying. And as I started studying that, I started, you know, looking more into the science-y answers for things. I came across the principle of entrainment. I saw that there were lots of people doing it already. So I thought, finally, the key, because I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. But I'm going to go on till the end of my life because I'm too weak to kill myself. At least this is how I perceive myself. So I tried everything. My research told me this will help. This will do everything. It didn't. It did nothing.
Mm.
Until I realized that nature doesn't allow for stability. Nature is about change. Evolution is about change. Mountains change. Everything changes. Right. This has never changed since it was first conceived. It struck me that maybe that's why I went through everything I went through all these years, because I was supposed to come across this and evolve it and change. And that's what I did. And I created my first recording. I was afraid to use it the first 2 weeks because what if it didn't work? Because that's pretty much my last chance. Then the next 2 weeks I didn't use it because what if it did work? What would it do to me? Then when I finally tried it the first time, it was half an hour long. I felt like everything that I was supposed to hear, I heard. I felt nothing. But 5 minutes afterwards, I started hearing the voices coming back. First time in my life, I never heard the voices. It goes on to something, and that got me going. Since then, I can't stop creating. I've got over 40 products, 50 I'm working on. All of them have proprietary technology that I've created.
So when you were listening to the recording, it was quiet, so to speak.
Well, except for the recording, I have certain technologies that I developed for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard all of that, but I didn't feel anything. Until I noticed the voices were gone. And I only noticed they were gone when they started coming back 5 minutes later.
Right.
That's when I knew I was really on to something that could make a difference.
Very cool. Very cool. I know we got to take a break soon, but I'm curious. When you were researching this, like, what was it about this idea of entrainment that kind of gave you hope?
Okay. Entrainment entrains the neurons, your brain cells. So mm-hmm. your brain cells pulse. They don't pulse like your heart pulses, but they pulse an electric pulse, electrical energy. Right. And depending on the region of the brain and how many times a second they do this pulsing, that dictates the kind of chemistry they produce. Endorphins, hormones, neurotransmitters. That creates like a recipe, if you will, like food. Mm-hmm. And some chefs can create delicious food. Other chefs create dishwater tasting food. I was creating dishwater tasting food when I came across the concept that something other than my will can change how my brain is behaving and the chemistry it produces. I knew that this was my secret because my chemistry was poor. I couldn't change it. I read books, didn't help. I went to, I went to doctors. I went to hypnotists. I did this, meditations. Nothing helped me because I couldn't get out of my rut. I couldn't get out of my own way. This does it automatically. There's a process called the frequency following response, and that takes over. Doesn't matter what your belief is. It doesn't matter because there's no effort involved. It was perfect for me. No effort. I can just lie down. I even had naps. I could fall asleep and it made no difference. It still helped.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, let's go to break. And when we come back, I want to learn a little bit more about once you discovered this and then you started to create all these recordings, like, what's the difference between these different recordings? And like, how do you know what a recording should or shouldn't do? You know, like, how did you figure out that first recording, like that the way you made the recording should have helped you? Okay. Because that takes a certain understanding. Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back with our guest, Maury Zelkovich, in just a moment.
Passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So we're speaking this hour with our guest, Maury, creator of the Maury Method. So how did you, when you created that first recording, how did you know that that was going to help you? Like what did you put in the recording? Or like, how did you like come to figure out that like, oh, if it would sound like this, or if I include this, it might help me?
Okay, so actually it was kind of simple for me at the time because I was desperate. So I was willing to try pretty much anything. But I realized through my research, I realized that stability of dominant brainwave patterns is a rarity in this world we have. What that means is we have too many distractions. We have our phones, we have our computers, we have our families, we have the fear of war, the fear of disease, the fear of sex, the fear of this, the fear of that, there's taxes, right? I mean, everything and anything, the noises all around us, they all impose on us. And any form of stimulation at all, I figured, influenced our brain's activity. My brain's activity was scattered and all over the place. That was just a guess. Because of the fact that I couldn't concentrate on anything, I couldn't keep my thoughts anywhere stable. I thought, I need to stabilize my brain waves. I need to get some dominant patterns happening. Dominant means most of my neurons pulsing in the same way, in unison, kind of like line dancing for country music fans out there. So I wanted to get them all in line and all of them kicking at the same time and all of them pulsing at the same time. So I thought, well, if I could train my brain to a specific frequency that is well known in the research, because I read a lot of research, to be relaxing and centering, that might help me to feel relaxed and centered, which is something I've never felt, except that one time when time flew and I was camping. So I designed it in the theta bandwidth, which is kind of like a state where we dream. In theta. Theta is also a state where we learn. So it creates certain conditions in the brain that allow us to form memory pathways. So through my self-education, I was learning these things and I was testing them. So I figured stable frequency, theta frequency, let's just try it. But I thought, you know, I want to make it easy on myself. So instead of just jumping right into the frequency, I ramped myself from beta, which is what I assumed I'd be at, you know, more awake and alert, faster frequency, down into theta. And then when it was over, I raised myself back up into beta again, so it'd be easier to wake up. I wanted to give myself as little challenge as possible. When I did that, like I said, I felt like I didn't notice anything. My first thought was, well, what do I expect? I've got 40 years of this. Did I really think a 30-minute recording once is going to do anything? So I felt a little less depressed as a result of that thinking process. But even that thought to pop into my head was an unusual thing, because normally I'd be jumping all over the failure instead. So that was actually a clue that something good was happening. And it's interesting. I've told this story about 1,000 times. This is the first time I've made that connection, that even the thought that I shouldn't be pushing it because, you know, it's too soon. But then when I noticed the voices coming back, I realized, wow, my form of research, the type of study I'm doing, the conclusions that I'm kind of drawing are pretty good because they're working. Something you said from your book I thought was brilliant. I don't believe in truth and I don't believe in fact.
Yes.
I'll take what you said to a much farther extreme. As a scientist, when I do that, when I believe in truth or a fact, I stop thinking, because why think about something if you already know it to be true?
Right.
Then I looked at history, and this is while I'm researching for my own work as well and my own life at that point. And I'm realizing there was a time when they used to drill holes in people's heads to let evil spirits out, because that was the truth. People are violently mad and insane because they have evil spirits. So if we drill a hole in the head, it's going to release them. There was a time where we thought women having the menstrual cycle was punishment for eating the apple.
Right.
Okay. If we look back,
there was a time when we thought the earth was flat.
There's still some people who think that. Yeah. But there's the thing is that while I don't like saying we, because I can only speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, when I look back at history, I look back 100 years, I look back 50 years, I look back 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. Every single thing that society, humanity thought was a fact or the truth has been disproven.
Yeah.
As we get new equipment, new ways of measuring, new ways of thinking, new understandings, you know, the Hubble Space Telescope destroyed a million theories of truth that people thought. Now we have the new telescope that makes Hubble look like it's primitive.
Yeah. Yeah. The James Webb Telescope.
So, yeah, that's right. So we just keep learning and learning and learning. So to me, that means it's reasonable to assume if every single thing we ever thought was true isn't true, then everything we think is true now will be shown not to be true either. That means there's no such thing as truth.
Right.
That means there's no such thing as fact.
Right.
But that's the human experience for me. For me, it's all about current understanding. We're not supposed to figure everything out and then sit back and relax and, you know, eat grapes
when
we watch sitcoms. We're supposed to be challenging all the time. We're supposed to be growing. I believe if there is a truth, my current understanding is that that truth doesn't exist. And it doesn't exist because if it does exist, we cease to exist. Because our purpose goes away. We are designed not to be, you know, and this is why I have a problem with people who quote books all the time and they don't think about it, because we are not designed to be hard drives.
Right.
We're designed to be computers. Okay. We're designed to be CPUs. We're designed to use
processing
to evolve it. I have evolved this science. I continue. I'm working on 50 new techniques.
Okay. So let me ask you, I want to get back to the recordings themselves, right? Okay. So that first one you did, it was a half hour long.
Yeah.
Over time, are most of your recordings a half hour? Or they vary in length? Like, how do you determine like how long a recording should be?
Half hour is about the level that you want to have, because much longer than that, people get restless and then the restless gets in the way. I have some recordings. I have a recording called Good Night, Sleep Well. That's 55 minutes long.
Mm.
And I put it on when you go to sleep at night, and it helps to retrain the natural adult sleep cycle.
Mm. So now you've created recordings for like many different things. Like you started off doing this for yourself. What was sort of your first foray into doing it for someone else or to help something else than what you were experiencing?
So I don't know how I had friends, but I had friends. I was a good actor. And interestingly enough, I tried acting and I sucked at it. Mm-hmm. But what happened was they asked me, what's going on? There's something different about you. And I said, well, I created this thing. The only thing I'm doing differently is these recordings that I made, this recording, actually one recording that I made. And they tried it and they got back to me and said, wow, this is amazing. But I just thought they were friends being supportive. Until months later, I started getting phone calls. They didn't have email back then, you know, phone calls and smoke signals and, you know, wires from people who were, I don't know, but they were friends of friends who they gave recordings. And when they started saying that they're getting benefits, what's going on here? You don't know me, but I'm Joe's friend. I'm Bob's friend, you know, that's when I started realizing that this wasn't just for me. But you're right. This was totally selfish. I did it for me and only me. I had no concern for the rest of the world until I realized that my work could apply to the rest of the world.
And so then what was the first thing that you created not just specifically for yourself, but to help other people?
It was my first system released in 2007 called Quantum Mind Power.
And what does that do?
Oh, it was a series of recordings that when used in series was kind of like a universal gym for your brain and your mind.
Okay.
So I look at the brain as a muscle, and I look at the brain as the central processing unit of your life. You could be punched in the face if your brain doesn't give you a chemical reaction, like brain waves, which create chemistry, which create the awareness of that. Your head will fly off to the side. It'll come back, but you won't have any concept that you were hit whatsoever. So what this does is this is a comprehensive system that allows the brain to get stronger and stronger and stronger, thus allowing anything the brain does to be more efficient and more effective as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the brain isn't so, as reality is not so hard and static, that we can actually do things even as we age to support the brain, to make it stronger, more flexible, more durable.
It's never too late. I have a system called Revitamind and Revitamind Ultra that's used by clinicians and doctors all over the world for Alzheimer's treatment and cognitive decline. And it was actually written about in the New York Times, not Amazon, I might add, but New York Times best-selling book, The End of Alzheimer's by Dr. Dale Bredesen.
Wow, wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. All right, cool. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll finish up. I just want to know, like, what are the some of the different, I mean, Alzheimer's is one of them, but what are some of the different applications for these? And then we'll probably have a couple of odd questions for you. And then we'll finish up and we'll let people know how they can find your information. Okay, Maury?
Thank you. Sure. That'd be great.
Absolutely. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, Maury, we've just got a few minutes left. So what are the different things that this brainwave entrainment is good for that you found over the years? Because you've been doing this a long time now.
Yeah, I've been doing my research over 45 years with products available for 17. So look, it's a matter of studying the brain. So you get people in different moods and different attitudes and different feelings. And you see what their natural brainwave activity is when they're in these particular states. Then I create recordings that mimic those states to encourage the brain to go into those states and thus have the same experience or a similar experience. Things like confidence, self-esteem, Peak performance. I have products for sales teams and members. I have business, general business. Pickleball is a brand new one, and tennis I just came out with. I have for golf. Pretty much for anything you can do. The Brazilian military did a study with the Mato Grosso University, and they use it to help train their military police. The Jamaican, there was a Jamaican university that did a study on pre and post math exam. So education, learning, cognition, you name it, anything that passes through the brain, brainwave entrainment can help with.
What about meditation?
You don't even mention that, because every form of brain, every single recording I do puts you into a deep state of meditation. I actually had heard from Zen monks and Buddhist monks who their lifetime practice is 15 hours a day of meditating. They say after doing their meditation at the same time as listening to my recordings for 5 minutes, that's all, they go deeper than they've ever been in their lives.
Wow.
So yeah, this is definitely, if you want to know the real benefits, just go to Google Scholar and type in, what are the benefits of meditation? And this is meditation on steroids, because I tried meditation. I couldn't do it. I was questioning myself. Am I supposed to feel this? Do I feel anything? What's going on? Is this working? Is this on? You know, click, is this on? Is this on? But this happens automatically because of the frequency following response. It's a natural process where we follow beats. We follow frequencies.
And what about the physical results of this? What have you found on the physical side?
So peak performance is a big one that happens. People tend to rest better. They tend to sleep better. They tend to behave with more patience. They're more relaxed. With people who exercise tend to get better exercise in, and they recover faster from their exercises. I had one guy in Greece who called me scared, because every morning he used to swim to an island and back, and he did it that day, and he was terrified because he did it twice as fast as he's ever done it in his life, and freaked out. And I was talking to him and asking him, and his various mental state after he listened was so in tune that he was one with the water. He wasn't fighting it. He was just swimming.
Wow.
Yeah, he wasn't even thinking about it. And by the time he got back, it was like, well, wait a minute. Holy crap, no way.
Wow.
Do it. So, you know, anything is possible. I have some customers. Now, I don't make medical claims, but I have a testimonial from one customer in particular who says that my recordings helped her with her, helped her recover from a stroke. I have other people with ADD, ADHD, autism, all kinds of different things, memory loss. You know, all these things create stress in our lives. Mm-hmm. Stress greatly impacts our physicality and our sleep. So I even have recordings to help with sleep. I had a very bad situation in my life the last 5 years. Both my parents took ill. They were not in great shape. They both ended up leaving us last year. And the interesting thing was that I was acting out. I was yelling and screaming in my sleep. I was punching in the air, and I even hit my wife a couple of times in my sleep. It's horrible. When she told me that, I said, what am I, an idiot? And yeah, I'll admit right now publicly on radio, I'm an idiot. I have a recording, 55-minute recording called Good Night Sleep Well. Why wasn't I using it? I started using it. Within 24 hours, I wasn't yelling anymore, and I wasn't acting out.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, what surprised you? I mean, you've been researching this, like you said, for years and years. What has surprised you over the years around this stuff, around the entrainment?
The funniest thing that surprised me is my ability to intuit way ahead of science. As an example, with the Revitamind Ultra system I have, I created a recording that is not designed to entrain the brain specifically. It's just a vibratory pattern that's supposed to kind of shake the skull at a certain frequency to hopefully make the brain work better. Mm-hmm. I had no evidence to prove it. It was just an intuition. I added it because it can't hurt. And I've just seen research recently that says pretty much exactly what I said. It even said tactile stimulation in the hands. These are bone conduction headphones. I can run a recording. The research is saying that you can run a recording at a certain rate, holding it in your hands, So it vibrates at that frequency. And in 3 to 6 weeks, it's shown a reduction in neural death, which means your neurons aren't dying, and clearer cognition associated with the physical, the vibratory audio, and the visual stimulation that I created for my Revitamind system as well. So that's the biggest surprise, that a guy who isn't formally trained in medicine, I have an honors degree in psychology. That's my only formal degree, and a minor in sociology. But all the rest of it is just from my own self-taught and thought. So the biggest thing I would encourage people to do is don't worry about your education level. If you have a thought, it's for a reason, and it's a good reason. So follow through with it and don't let it go away, because you're not just ripping yourself off. You might be ripping the world off too.
This is so fascinating. So just to give our audience a clear idea, I mean, when you talk about your method or your system, these are all just audio recordings, right?
For the most part, audio. I've been getting into visuals as well. So essentially they're MP3 files.
Okay.
They're not even the newer style. They're MP3 and they are MP4s. That's okay. All that's necessary. And so I wanted to make my work. You see, I was over $250,000 in debt, along with my depression. So when I got into this business, it pulled me out. But I needed to understand that this technology needed to be affordable, because I couldn't afford it. So I had to make something that was cheap for me. But I wanted it to help other people when I started realizing it was helping others. And something that is basically an MP3 or an MP4, all you need is these things I got for $15 online. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Bone conduction headphones used to be $160 here in Canada. I paid $15 for these. Or you can just get a normal set of over-the-ear headphones. These cost me $10 on Amazon. Okay. And that's all you need other than something to play it. Most people have headphones. If they don't, $10 isn't going to kill them. And the other thing is they have a player, they have a computer, they have their phone. It's easy. It's not expensive. My work does not cost thousands and thousands of dollars. It often costs, I think the average price is like $197 for my products.
Wow.
One time, and I got to say one thing, there's not a best before date. I use recordings today that I used 30 years ago, and they do the same thing they did then.
Wonderful. So before we end the show, where do people go to find these things? Where are people these recordings?
Well, they're all over the place. They can do a search for my name, Maury Zelkovich, or they can just go to the maurymethod.com or activemindsglobal.com. And they'll be able to find all the information. I'm happy to be there for everyone. My tagline is, I'm here for you. And I constantly get surprised clients who go, wow, you're Maury. Like, I've literally had people call me, hang up, call me back 5 minutes later. Sorry about that. I didn't think I talked to you. I thought I was going to talk to a customer service person.
Wow.
But what I do is so different and out there. I need to be the person to help.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What's the future hold for Maury?
What the future holds for me is what the future holds for humanity. I'm working to build business partnerships so that my work can get out to more and more people to help them to help themselves.
Cool. Awesome, Maury. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show today. It's really been a pleasure having you. It's a fascinating story. I'm glad we had a chance to really go in depth with it. So thank you for coming on board today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to everyone out there who might listen to this now or in the future.
Right. So remember, make sure to check out the maurymethod.com and take a look at his website. Look at the research. Do your own research. You know, don't just because you hear about it on my show, don't take anything at face value. Just learn for yourself, because we say it means one thing, but if you find out about it, it means something totally different. So as always, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in today. I so appreciate you. Make sure you catch all the other shows on talkradio.nyc. We've got Frank Show, who Maury is a past guest on, tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern. And of course, tomorrow we have our whole Friday block of shows with Philanthropy in Focus, always Fridays, and Intangify. And in July, a new show coming on Fridays. Make sure sign up for our newsletter at talkradio.nyc. Join the tribe so you can hear all about the new show when we're ready to release it. So everyone take care. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And we will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.